Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, a.k.a. MH the Champ, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR. Y'all know where to find me at.
Yeah, today we got a very special guest in the building. Well, not in the building, on this call necessarily. This is going to be our first audio one here at Clutch Points. We got the COO of Sports 99 Agency, the new agency that's founded by Young Jeezy. And his name, the guy we got on who's the COO, goes by the name of Andrew Ace Thomas. What's up, my guy?
Not much, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yes, sir. So, man, Ace, let's tell me a little bit about your background. I know, you know, we knew each other over the, you know, last probably about 2 years ago we started talking, and you know, I met you before, you know, you became the COO of an agency. And tell us a little bit of the start and in the history of Ace and you know, getting into this business.
Okay. Man, it started for me back in 2009, 2010. It was a rookie class. I was just getting ready to, you know, get ready to go to the NBA. And I always credit these guys for my success and where I'm at right now. So it was just really God's timing. Like, I was at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. People kind of knew me as, you know, the shaker and the mover at the time in L.A. I was always with the celebrities and the entertainers and whatnot. And someone was telling me, like, hey, you know, there's some guys getting ready to train for the NBA and they live in your building. Yeah. And I was like, what? And, you know, and at the time where I lived downtown at the Orsini, there was a full court basketball court down in the gym. Mm-hmm. So we had a full life basketball, like the NBA size basketball court. It was official.
Right.
So here are these guys I'm meeting, you know, Tyshawn Taylor from Kansas, Tariqo White from Ole Miss, Jarvis Renardo led the Mississippi State team shot blocking, Jerome Jordan, Ben Uzo at the time. I'm meeting these guys for the first time. You know, they're just now coming out of college. But Tyshawn Taylor ended up going back.
Mm-hmm.
So I got introduced to this NBA agent named Todd Ramazar.
Mm-hmm.
Through at BDA Sports, through Jerome Jordan at the time, and Jarvis. So these guys are like, yo, this is the guy that we've been hanging out with, you know, who's been looking out for us when we wanted to go out and stuff like that. And Todd gave me the opportunity to come in and intern. So that's really, you know, everybody knew me on one side, but then here's, now I'm finally getting into sports. You know, so you're talking about, you know, doing the entertainment side, you know, mm-hmm. skateboarding, and managing, you know, little guys like that. And then next thing you know, I got the opportunity to intern, and I took the opportunity, and I was like, you know what, this might be able to, you know, take me to the next level. And with the internship, I didn't know you didn't get paid, any money you put out, stuff like that.
So, right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was kind of weird, but I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't think this is really for me, man.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was about to say, so how you was living in L.A. at the time. I'm like, how you do an internship in L.A.?
Man, it really came as a shocker to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, here I am. I really just, you know, I jumped off the deep end, you know, 2 feet in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really thinking about it at the time, but here I am spending my money, and then they put me in a situation where, you know, 30 days later, you know, I'm getting an eviction notice, and it was just like, yo, and I go to the agent, and I'm like, yo, man, I spent my money taking care of your players, and he gave me the most realest answer, dead in my face look, and was like, yo, interns don't get paid. They don't get reimbursed. And at that moment, I had to make a choice. You know, do I continue what I'm doing, or do I just do my name, forget them, and let me go about my business, you know?
Right.
What I was doing before.
Right.
And I just said, you know what? Like, God put me here, opportunities here, and I ran with the opportunity.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, no, that's my problem.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, Chris.
It's so many times that people don't really understand, man. That when you're on that grind from the bottom, it's real. It gets really real. Like you said, the eviction notice, the money's not coming in, and you're making a choice. Like, man, I got what you know the position that I want to work. I got my foot in the door right now. So do I want to just go forward and grind with it, or do I give up? And a lot of times people give up because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
So man, that's a testament to you, brother, to ride that wave and say, man, I'm gonna go all in. I'm gonna bet on myself, and I'm gonna go win.
And yo, and Ace, and then, so from you know, deciding at that point, you know, of course you can't do this for free. You can't continue to keep you know spending your own money and stuff. Is that at that point? Is that right when you decided, like, you know what, I wanna be an agent, or what was next from there?
You know, the next thing was there was just trying to get the guys, you know, through the draft.
Right.
And once we kind of got through the draft, and everybody kind of got placed, you know, Jerome ended up with the, I believe New York. I forgot what New York team he ended up with.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he went to Milwaukee Bucks, I believe. And then Jarvis got drafted by the Miami Heat. And Ben Uzo, he ended up getting drafted as well. So all those guys got drafted that year. Tariqa White ended up in Detroit. He was supposed to be actually, you know, potential lottery pick out of Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And he ended up slipping into the second round. But the hard work that I laid down, that groundwork that I put in, the guys took notice, and the guys were like, yo, we want you to come and manage it. And that's what really, you know, gave me that springboard, like, oh, that push that I needed, like, oh, shit.
Right.
The hard work I put in didn't go unnoticed. Like, mm-hmm. Here are these young kids. They saw the work that I was putting in. I'm a little young kid, too, at the time. I wasn't, you know, I think I was just around 22 years old, maybe 23 years old.
Wow.
You know, trying to figure out my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
They saw that, you know, I prioritized younger their needs and what they were trying to, you know, get accomplished, and they gave me the opportunity. Mm-hmm. I had opportunities like, yo, hey, I'm gonna go here. Would you want to come? You know, like, come manage me. And I was like, I'm like, what else am I doing in LA? Well, you know what? And you know what I mean? The next thing, no, I'm in Detroit for the first year. Never done anything basketball related. I don't know nothing about managing a basketball player. And Tariqa White gave me the opportunity to manage him. And then from there, you know, going through that whole process with him and, you know, moving to Detroit, and now I'm managing him, and I'm gaining the relationships and the contacts, you know. And that was another situation where it wasn't paying me,
mm-hmm.
but it gave me the experience that I needed to be in this business.
Right.
And, you know, and that's something that I tell guys, younger guys now, and, you know, and the guys that I mentored and the guys that came up underneath me, guys who want to kind of follow my same footsteps, I tell them this: you have to decipher from living the life and wanting to get paid.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, for sure.
And people don't really understand that, and they're like, well, what do you mean? And it's just like, okay, if you expect it, your boy, who's an NBA player, to pay for you to travel where he goes.
Right.
You know, you're living in his house and eating his food. That's a form of payment.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to really do this thing and you're going to manage him, you can't live in the same house with him.
Right, right.
You got to show him it's a business, and then you're putting the business first. So that was something that I learned living with, you know, Tariqa at the time. And he had a manager, which was his basketball trainer, who, you know, worked with him over at PDA.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even gonna say his name, you know, but you know, things didn't go too right, you know. But I took a lot from that situation, and then I found myself here in Miami when he signed with Impact Sports,
mm-hmm.
to represent him. That's what really put me in the game. I got flew down to come to Miami. Never been to Miami, and next thing you know, I'm meeting with Mitch Frankel at the time. Mitch Frankel was the owner of Impact Sports.
Uh-huh.
And I met with Brian Elvis, Mike Siegel, guys who are in the industry right now. Mitch Frankel, who represents Kawhi Leonard still to this day. Brian Elvis, who's representing coaches now, and GMs, and Mike Siegel represents guys right now, and Galloway, stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, I'm working along with these guys who have, you know, a resume, and I'm able to go get players like Will Barton from Memphis.
Yep, true.
You know, Torian Prince. And, you know, so it really put me in that next phase, that next level where I wanted to be. And Jarvis came back that following year, 2012, and played for the Miami Heat. So he was on that championship run with LeBron and those guys. And, you know, that's where I just kind of took off, man.
That's what's up. That's what's up. And like you said, you had a, you know, some ties to Kawhi back in the day. Did you have much interaction with him back then?
No, man. Kawhi was really, he was like the Michael Jordan of our agency.
Right. Yeah.
You know, even before him winning, you know, our NBA championship and stuff like that, he was very, you know, kept to himself and very, you know, quiet. You know, and his team of people, which was, you know, Uncle Dennis, Jeremy, Mitch, and his mom, you know, it was like, all right, that small circle of people. So they didn't have too much interaction.
Right.
Came down to Miami, I go support, you know, we'll meet after the game. It was, you know, real brief handshake, smile, good game, you know, one of those things. And going through the process, now I remember some of the comments some of the GMs had to say about Kawhi. And one of the comments that stuck out to me to this day was that his hands were so big that he wouldn't be able to dribble the basketball. That's why he didn't want to draft him.
So, yeah. And now it's flip side. Now it's like it's a good thing now. You know, everybody talking about. Y'all seen the new commercial about the, you know, with the laptop, and he helping the dude.
Yeah.
His hand is like the same size as the whole laptop, and he's like, yo, are they making these smaller? He's like, no, it's normal size. But that's crazy. So like, you know, his first year, he didn't really, you know, he wasn't, like, a lot of people didn't see this coming. Did his team, did the people around him, did they know this was what he was going to turn out to be?
I would say we knew the potential Kawhi had,
mm-hmm.
because he showed it. Like, you know, here's a guy coming into the league and really devoted himself to his craft. Most young guys don't come into the league with that type of mindset, you know.
Right.
And, you know, he had that mindset, like, hey, I want to be the best. And his first couple years in the league, you know, Kawhi wasn't focused on endorsements or marketing opportunities or business opportunities. He really just wanted to get better. Most guys come into the league, you know, they're worried about their branding, they're worried about marketing, they're worried about all the stuff that comes with if you take care of your business by playing basketball. And a lot of guys don't understand that.
Right.
So here's a guy who came in, knew, and felt kind of, you know, snubbed in the NBA draft that, you know, he didn't go in the lottery.
Right.
You know, and, you know, so he had that chip on his shoulder that, hey, you know, he didn't go to the lottery. And so it was like, all right, he wanted to prove something. So already having that passion and that desire to want to be the best, on top of that, feeling like, you know, people slept on him. And then he didn't work out for a lot of teams either going through that process. So, you know, it was kind of shocked that Steve, you know, San Antonio jumped in there and made the trade with Indiana to go get him.
Right, and the rest is history from there. You mentioned, and also another player you mentioned earlier, you know, was Will Barton, Will the Thrill.
Yeah.
And you guys were pretty close.
Yeah.
So how did meeting, I think you mentioned it earlier, but how did it come about meeting Will Barton and, you know, becoming, you know, the friends you guys are now? How'd that come about?
Man, that's a really good story, because this was me going back and forth to Memphis in the offseason, and a young kid by the name of Brandon, goes by the name of Hollywood, He runs with Yo Gotti. He kind of was just like Yo Gotti. And he was telling me about Will Barton his freshman year. At the time, and, you know, so I come down to Memphis. I'm in the hood. You know, I can adapt in, and I'm one of those guys that everybody, you know, oh, he's from Cali? Oh, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're so fascinated with that Cali life. So they introduced me to Will at a young age. And, you know what I mean? So I see freshman Will, and, you know, we chopping it up. And I'm like, everybody's like, yo, he's going to be the next one to go. He, you know what I mean? He's a Derrick Rose. He's about to come out of here. And, you know, so I was like, all right, bet. And, you know, we just kept in touch. And then his going into his sophomore year, you know, Will started, I'm like, look, before he even went into his sophomore year, actually, I already told him, I said, look, man, I'm rocking with you. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I told him, ready to come out five. I'm rocking with you, and we're going to get this thing done. And that kid really did. Like, when I say, when somebody give you their word and say, I'm rocking with you, he meant it.
Yeah.
And as much national exposure he was gaining, because at the time he was balling. If you go back to his college year, like, he won Player of the Year, like, he had all the accolades.
Yeah,
like, he did his thing, and this was going to be Impact Sports' first, not first, but his second rookie, you know, class. And you know what I mean? So we got Kawhi. Now we built it off of having Kawhi, and now boom, here comes Will Barton. And you know, so now we're building. And this is, so that's that 2012. So here we are, we're building. And, you know, Will rocked with me. We got to a great situation. He ended up in Portland. So, but before that, it was myself, him, and he had a handler at the time. But the deal was already done before the handler even got involved. And, you know, so it was a situation where the kid really just rocked with me and gave me his word. I did everything I could on my end, and he saw that I was, you know, I kept it 100 with him the whole time, and, you know, he rolled the dice with me, and, you know, next thing you know, we laid out a plan and a vision, and we got Will to where he needed to be. You know, when a guy comes into the league at that young age, too, you know, very different from a Kawhi Leonard. So it's just like, here you are, you kind of got to jump on some grenades, you know, and making sure that you cover up some things in order to really get these guys to the next contract. So, you know, second round picks at the time wasn't really sticking in the NBA.
Right,
really
at all.
A lot of guys really didn't make it out of that, you know, into the next contract. You know, so.
You know, first round picks sometimes nowadays.
Yeah, but now you're starting to see that. But if you go back to just that history of, you know, coming into. If you start, just go back to really from like 2004 or 2003, you know, at the time it was Darko Milicek was like the biggest bust, you know.
Yeah.
If you start really going back and start seeing guys who kind of just never got to that second contract, and you're like, well, damn, he was hooping, like, he had 1 year, breakout year, and next thing you know, then you kind of, you know, nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
You know, so that was one of those things. It was like, okay, here we go. We got a second round pick. How can we make sure Will, you know, create value for himself, but in the process of creating value for himself in the league, make sure he's able to stay and the off the court stuff don't get him, you know?
Right. So, right.
Making sure the off the court stuff didn't affect, you know, how he would be perceived on the court. And so that was I would say that was our biggest challenge as an agency, but making sure we did it. And we did it. And, you know, we got him to the point where he was now able to just show his talent and show everybody what kind of person he is and who he is, you know, as a basketball player. So that was one of the things that a lot of people don't really understand when you're a newer agency versus, you know, the big agencies of the world. It's a lot of work you really have to do. And I tell you, I got this rule where it's like a 90-10 rule. You really don't find out what your agent's made out of when he got to do 90% of the work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
and The other 10% is you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus when the player's coming in already did 90% of the work, you know, and now you got to do the other 10. You know, right. It's easy.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where a lot of guys, even in the, you know, in the podcasting world or whatever, it's like, or media world, it's like you doing so much, you know, prepping as far as like prepping for shows, booking guests, and you know, that's like that's the talent part where you know you have to really do that and really be good at it. But then meanwhile, there's the business side, which is, you know, sponsorships and all that, and it's like. It's you don't if you're an agent, you don't want your client having to worry about that. It's like, look, just worry about being great, we'll do the rest. But it is some people out there that, like you say, that 90-10, it's like, well, if we could let him do all the work, ride off of his talent, and then, you know, I'll come in with my 10% and, you know, boom, boom, boom. Would you say it's a lot of, without, you know, throwing any dirt on names, of course, but you know, you've been around for a while. Do you think it's a lot of agents out there like that's in the business to do the 10% and not the 90 part?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. I ain't gonna say no name, but that was something that really motivated me when I seen, you know, here I am. Like I said, I came into this sports business not knowing nothing about sports. You know, and then seeing what I thought, how I thought things were supposed to be, that was my vision that I had. I'm like, okay, well, they fucking take care of their God. You know what I mean? Like, boom, because, you know, they hired you to do a job. So when you're a CEO of a company, right, and you hire somebody, that person that you hire, you know what I mean? You want them to be able to do the best job they can for you and make sure that, you know, they living up to what they say they can do. But when I seen that, it wasn't that, and I was like, wait, what are you, it kind of took me by surprise. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, you know?
Right, right.
And it was just like, it was a lot of fluff being sold and BS at the time. And I'm just like, damn. You know, and how they use these players.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, they're just pawns on a board.
Right.
And it was just like, man, you know, and if they could ride you, they're going to ride you. And if they can't, you know, it's on to the next player. It really is. That, you know, there's no feelings attached to it. And, you know, the feelings come in after you already made them, oh, we got him to a second contract. He made $50 million, or he makes $100 million. Oh, he's family. Oh, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's all the love is there, you know what I mean? But when you're the guy who, you know, at the time I was dealing with guys who were fringe players who were still on the bubble of trying to make a career, you know, and just realize the fight you have to put in for these guys as an agent, a manager, you know, the guy who's in the circle, like, you know, like, they can't be late to practice. They can't have a bad day. You know what I mean?
Right.
They can't fuck up in practice, right? You know what I mean? In the making of a player like a Will Barton and seeing the things that you have to, you know, do.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous. You know what I mean? It's night and day. Like Jarvis Rinaldo, for an example, you know, because Jarvis came out of that Kawhi class, and you got a guy like Jarvis Rinaldo, who was a French player. He got drafted by Miami. He had to go overseas.
Yeah.
Make a name for himself over there. Miami finally brought him back. They're loaded because they got Chris Bosh, D. Wade, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
LeBron James here.
LeBron.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, it was a media crazy driven situation, and you know, and Patrick Beverly, so they both shared the same agent at BDA, Mark Bartenstein. You know, and I'll tell you a funny story about Mark later. it's crazy, man. It's crazy. And you know, you got a guy like, both of these guys are French players, and you know, like Pat had to go overseas to make a name for himself, you know.
Right.
But sometimes agents, and I'm not saying, you know, this is what most agents do, but sometimes agents rather go send a guy overseas real quick, and they're gonna make more money sending them overseas than sending them to the league to go play on a minimum, you know, second round year.
Right. On
the right.
Second, you know what I mean, on a second round contract. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Yeah.
I get 10% to go send you guys overseas. So you know, sometimes it is that, and you know, Jarvis had to go through that and came back. So it's Jarvis, it's Dexter Pittman, it's, you know, Terrell Harris, all these guys who are you know, like I said, fringe players.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you got to do a lot more to keep them in their current situation.
Right.
And Jarvis, you know, just based off of what he's able to do, just block shots and run the floor, you think he'll have a job. Like, yo,
right.
Oh, Miami needs that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the politics behind that, you know what I mean? And these guys are on a championship run, he couldn't find the floor. And the games that he did play had no impact, you know?
Right.
So, you know, here he is. He's now going back and forth. At the time, they just started the G League. Nobody wanted to play in the G League. Like,
yeah.
G League, people yeah. felt like it was the curse. Like, oh, if I go to the G League, you know, you ain't got ready to fire the agents. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. G League, I'm firing my agent. It's like, guys had the worst perception of the G League. And here I am looking at the G League, and I'm like, yo, the G League is actually... that's the best thing for a guy, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
You know, when you're talking about not having to send a kid overseas where he has to now adapt to a world and everything's just different. You're far away from your family, you don't know everything. But at the time, too, the G League was just coming out, so it was like, you know, you got guys taking bus rides, it ain't the fly-in, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was just like the worst of the worst for a minor league system, you know?
Right, right. So yeah,
so questions. The with the new sports agency, are you guys going to be kind of sticking with basketball, or is there plans to spread across, you know, maybe the football or other sports?
Yeah, right now. So to fast forward to that, you know, we are definitely already in full go. We have a baseball division, we have a football division. And then we're gearing up this year for our first NBA draft class, so we're gearing up for that.
That's what's up, and I know you guys are excited about that. And I seen a few of the guys that you guys picked up in on coming up in this NFL draft. Let me back it up a little bit. How did this come about? Like I said, I know you've been in business for years now, and then there's out of nowhere, you know, you like I even lost contact with you for a year. I think I talked to you like last Christmas or something, and then it was just bam, you coming out with Sports 99, founded by Young Jeezy. How'd that come about? How the relationship with you and Jeezy pop up?
You know, I don't make sure I give everybody any credit here because, you know people on here like, oh, man, shout me out. You know, 2016, I got Torian Prince out of Baylor. He goes in the lottery. He goes 12. He's in Atlanta. You know, he's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain jeweler, they call Gabe, his name is Gabe Raffaello. He tells me, I got introduced to him through Sherrod. Sherrod's the wealth manager at the time. He represents athletes. And I went to his wedding, and that's where I met Gabe the jeweler,
mm-hmm.
out of New York. So Raffaello. So I meet Raffaello. Raffaello knows me now, you know, whatnot. And, you know, we don't really have a real relationship, but he got to meet Torian Prince just before he got drafted and then after, so the kid goes for the lottery. And calls me up and he says, yo, Young wants to start an agency.
Mm.
And I said, okay. And at the time, I'm like, I'm with Impact Sports. And through the years of me building out Impact Sports, we done sat down, you know, I had Mitch Franco, Tony Fleming, we done went to Rick Ross' house. We sat down with Rick Ross. We came close to getting something done with Rick Ross at the time. This is before Jay-Z got involved. This is before the launch of Roc Nation Sports.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm texting with Ross, and I'm like, "Hey, Ross, you know, let's get this thing done." Like, and he was all about it, you know. But at the end of the day, Ross wanted a big bag.
Yeah.
He wanted a bag, and at the time, he couldn't see the benefit other than, "Hey, let me get my bag." You know, y'all trying to get y'all bag, let me get my bag.
Right.
Now I understand, like, hey, you know, with the right partnership, and, you know, we're going to make a lot of money doing this thing. You know, of course, you gonna make money in the sports business, but if you partner strategically with the right person, things just become a lot easier for you to be able to shape and move.
Right.
And so the deal didn't go through with Rob. And fast forward, I got a chance to, now I'm sitting down with Meek Mill, thanks to Prime, rest in peace, Prime, big time guy down here in Miami.
Uh-huh.
He introduced me to James Lindsay, who is the owner of Rapsmax. And,
okay,
you know, we all sit down, and at the time, he's a part of Meek Mill's management team. So it was like, and then Meek actually put the first post out, Impact Sports, Meek Mill, Dream Chasers, and he went crazy. So
wow.
I had the vision in that. I was like, yo, this is what we need to be doing. Like, we need to pair entertainment with sports. Like, you know, this is the way. Like, this is what we got to do. And then, you know, before that, here comes Jay-Z, makes the announcement. He's the first one to do it. And then, so there, I already knew I was on the right track. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna keep trying to make something like this happen because I see it works and I know it works. So,
mm-hmm. you've been on this trail for a minute now.
Yeah. At least three years prior to, and then you know I was going heavy with it. You know, and I was trying to bring it back to Impact Sports, and that's who really gave me my shot.
Mm-hmm.
Impact,
right?
To really fully blossom into what I am right now, like. They didn't hold me back. You know, I became that dude here in Miami, like, you know, because of the support that they did give me, and the lack of support as well, you know, because it kind of, like, left me to kind of figure things out. You know, with Impact, I literally started at the bottom. Like, here I am, finally got a job now, and I get paid to do this.
Right.
I'm only making $750 a month.
Right.
In Miami, where you're making $750 a month, and yeah, I only got to take care of myself, but $750 don't go a long way.
$750 is $750. I don't care if it's by yourself or two. That's
for the month. That wasn't $750 a week. That was $750 a month.
When you first said, I'm here a month, but I'm thinking Miami, and I'm like, nah, he meant a week. I'm like, he meant per week. That's what I'm
So wow. Here I am in another situation where I'm grinding my way to the top, and, you know, I'm making $750 a month. You know, after I take care of my cell phone bill, and, you know, cell phone bill back then was expensive, especially because they didn't have, you know what I mean? It was more about minutes, and you talked a lot, you know what I mean? Talking a lot, you know, it eat up your minutes, and then it got to add more minutes. And, you know, so cell phone bill, you know, ate up a chunk of my money. That shit was bad.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So
like, that 750 turned into 5 real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shit turned into 350 real quick.
Need the phone for your job.
Yeah, man. So here I am. I'm going through that with them, you know. But I'm grateful because I got the opportunity. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to show them. I'm gonna show these guys. And I'm building out this agency, you know. And as I started building up the agency, and I started landing guys, and I started making, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $8,000 a month, and I'm making, you know what I mean, I'm clearing, you know, $100K, you know, now I'm clearing $100K after a lot of business thing over at Impact Sports. So, you know, fast, and I just kept trying to innovate and take Impact Sports to the next level, because I got an owner who's real old school, which is Mitch Franklin. You know, right now you don't really see his name in articles or
him really nowhere.
Representing Kawhi, like most agents would be so in front of the camera.
Yeah.
If you got one of the top five clients in the world,
for sure. All you hear about is Uncle Dennis.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, here you got a guy like Mitch Franco who could really utilize this to really springboard his career, and, you know what I mean, even Brian Elsis at the time, could you really utilize this stuff to really spring themselves further in their career by, Kawhi.
Right.
These guys didn't. You know what I mean? They sat back, and they kind of like, but I'm like, you guys got to get out there. People got to know who you are. They got to know your States, especially when you're trying to go after these next generation type kids,
yeah,
who want to know who you represent.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they were just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. They were so old school. We didn't even have a website at the time. So, fast forward, you know, we get, they got a big investment from the Suttons, and that's what really kind of put us in the game. Like, okay, we're dealing with these billionaire dudes out of New York City, Jeff Sutton. We got all this money. Okay, cool. I'm like, yo, now the time is now to partner with somebody, one of these artists, and do something.
Right.
And at the time, young me, Solomon, and Young, we sat down. Me and Solomon hit it off, and you know, it didn't immediately happen in 2016, but the foundation was definitely laid in 2016, the groundwork. And we didn't do nothing, but we all sat down and said we wanted to do something.
Right.
So 2016, it was just like, you know, we all sat down, we get together, like, everybody feeling everybody out. We was like, all right, cool. And next year later, Impact Sports, after having Torian, you know, we ended up closing down our shop.
Uh-huh.
Impact Sports closed down in 2017, and it's a wrap. And here I am, like, all right, back to the drawing board, and I got to figure it out. Here's the first time in my life I'm actually working for AT&T and getting paid to really do what I could do. And now we closed down, you know?
Right, right.
Now I got to figure it out. So in the process of me figuring it out, I doubled back with Solomon, his business partner, and like, yo, what's up? Y'all really want to build this thing? Y'all want to do this thing or what? And so it just took a lot of me being persistent,
yeah,
staying on top of them to kind of get them to like, all right, let's do it. So then 2 years later, 2019, we're like, all right, let's get the album out. He's like, we're going to get the album out. Once he gets the album out, we're going to go full force into the agency. And then the announcement happens in September. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Young just tells me, like, yo, baby, let's do this. You know, give me these staffers. Let's do it. And I'm like, hey, I'm ready. This is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for an opportunity like this to be able to, you know, show what I can do.
Word.
And put together an agency. And so when they kind of like said, go ahead and build it, man, I hit the ground running. You know, went and got a baseball division. Mm-hmm. We got five clients in the baseball division. Went and got a football division. We got our first rookie class this year of five. We got five players that are going to be, six. Six going to be in this rookie class.
Uh-huh.
And they're all unique guys in their own right, and it's pretty dope because they're like the foundation.
Right.
You know, a lot of people might not know their name, but you know, in the building there's those pillars. Mm-hmm. These guys are pillars in the building, and building that foundation. So that's pretty cool to have those guys that want to, you know, our first and represent us, and you know, go put the best foot forward. But that's how it really came about, and we ended up building it. You know, it was just a lot of connecting the dots with certain people, and people knew what I did, and now we here.
And persistence, just like Nipsey said, you know, I'm sure you experienced it as well. It's like, you know, it wasn't a pretty ride to the, you know, to this point. Like, you had times where you was up, you had times where you went up and came back down and had to reinvent yourself. And you know, like you said in the beginning, you always been a guy that, you know, mingled well with people. It didn't matter if there's an athlete or an entertainer or whatever, you're just good with people. And you knew what you could do from the jump, and you just kind of stayed at it and, you know, ignored, because I'm sure it was times where, like you said, when you make a $750 a month, I know it was times where you thought about giving up, or not giving up, but switching up. What kept you going?
Definitely. You know, when you make $750 a month, and then on top of that, I didn't have a place to live. Like, I wasn't living. I didn't have a place of my own.
Right.
I'm over here, you know, Impact, you know, got me in a hotel, or at the time, I was in and out of, like, the player housing, you know, for the guys who were going through the draft at that time. So, this is before the Torian Prince, you know, the Will Barton. And here I am, you know, in this hotel 1 minute. Next thing you know, I got to get out of this hotel because they got to put a player in there. So I'm on the couch, and I just got this suitcase, and I'm just lugging around. And frustration definitely kicked in, and I was just like, man, if I'm gotta give, like, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do this, you know, because it's like, I'm a, you know, in your mind, you're like, you're a grown man, but, you know, you're still young, but it's just like, I feel like, oh, you're playing with, you know, like,
yeah,
moving me around versus just like, man, give me my own room. Like, if that's the case, I'm working with y'all, like, I'm out here taking care of y'all clients, put me in my own situation. I shouldn't have to be, you know, oh, I can lay here for a minute, and then, oh, as soon as the player comes, you got to get out of here. They got to get, I'm like, man, that was frustrating to me. And when those things started happening, the frustration just kept building. There was a couple of times where I was ready to just throw in the towel and walk away, but I was just like, at the same time, like, all right, I put in all this work to get here. What am I walking away to? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Where am I going from here?
Right, so, right.
You know, having those real conversations with yourself, and looking and being able to evaluate what's in front of you, I think was the biggest thing in me being just a man or God, like, understanding, like, okay, I'm here for a reason.
Right.
Right? Don't let nobody else, no matter what the situation is, take that away from you. Like, okay, push through and push through. And that's really what Nip said, you know, being from L.A. and, you know, going to the same school as Nip. We went to Hamilton. We spent 1 year at Hamilton together. And I got to know him outside of school. It was huge. But it's those type of conversations that you have with yourself about not giving up. And you got to push through. Same thing when you're an entrepreneur. You got nobody to pull you up and give you a pat on the back or, you know, give you that motivational speech and decide your significant other. But most of that is like, you got to do that yourself. You got to put your boots on, lace them up, and, you know, you got to keep running through that wall and see you rush down that wall.
Right.
Yeah, so many times I've heard, you know, successful people, whether it be celebrities, entertainers, or, you know, whatever, their craft, they always say the beauty is in the journey, man. Is that something that you would say you agree with as far as, like, now looking back, you appreciate your journey more than you probably did during that time?
Oh, yeah. I appreciate my journey, because my journey is what got me here and it helped me, what makes me stay here, because I understand where you came from and going through that and going through those obstacles and those roadblocks. I appreciate the journey. And, you know, when you're talking about a guy who went from sleeping on a couch, first getting evicted, then, you know, landed in Detroit, then sleeping on a couch, from the couch to a hotel, back to your boy's place, or, you know, and just bouncing around to eventually being able to settle down, have my own family, hold down at my own spot, and now look at me now, the CEO of Sports 99. I appreciate my journey. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest with you. I relish on being the underdog in any situation, because, you know, we're the ones that are never really looked at to be successful, and I thrive on that. You know, it's just like, okay, I'll take a player that nobody really betted on, like Torian Prince. Nobody betted on Torian going 12th to Atlanta Hawks that year. Better yet, even making it to his second contract, where he signed a second contract with Brooklyn, an extension with the Brooklyn Nets.
Right. He's
going through that process. You know, he was a tweener. Everybody's like, oh, he's a late second round guy. And that's one thing I can say is I go hard for my guys. If you rocking with me, I'm going hard for you. And that year, that deal with him going to Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of knew Atlanta liked him a lot.
Right.
And here I am with JR, you know, we're in Brooklyn. And JR's like, well, who you got, Ace? And I'm like, oh, I got Torian Prince. He's like, where you think he goes? I said, I think he's going to go lottery. You know what I mean? He's like, for real? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, if he do, you know, we want him at Adidas. That's how he ended up signing with me. I said, they left. We rock him. And Rich Paul, I ran into Rich Paul. Me and Rich Paul, you know, we know each other. You know, we come to pass. We, you know, we good.
Right.
And, you know, well, who you got? I said, I got Torian Prince. He's like, I don't know. Like, he didn't know. He didn't know who Torian Prince was at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's only focusing on the top, you know,
right.
Top guys.
So right.
The second round pick guy, you ain't going to know who he is. Like, my boys got him on the second round. You're not really focused on him.
Yeah.
And he's going to turn around. And I'm like, yo, you're going to surprise you. He's like, yeah. Because, you know, you got Ben Simmons. He was really tripping. The next thing you know, he goes 12. And Rich Paul's like, oh, yeah, you was right. I said, Jamal, man, that night was a very emotional night for me because
all
my hard work
paid
off. And I've always had second round picks. I've always had guys, but I never made it to the NBA draft. And even then, we didn't make it to the NBA draft because we were sitting in the thin.
Yeah.
So, and it was because of him. It was because of Torian, we were even in Brooklyn. You know, he was like, I want to go regardless. I want that opportunity to walk across that stage.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, all right, man, let's do it. And that whole weekend, we are in New York, no lie. When I tell you, we treated him like he was a lottery pick. Uh-huh. We had his name. If you go back, there's some videos, you know, pictures and surfaces, where Torian Prince's name was in the middle of Times Square because of the owners had the jumbotron in the middle of Times Square. So his picture's up there. His name is up there. Like, he's down in the middle of Times Square.
That's dope.
On billboards. Like, and I'm like, there's not too many lottery picks that can say their name, their face was up on those billboards before they even got drafted.
Right. So
here he is down in the middle of Times Square, Torian Prince.
That's hard.
It's crazy.
That's hard.
And then, you know what I mean? And then to get your name called 12th,
yeah.
I'm running back and forth. Me and Mitch are going back and forth. You know, like, we're following our little chart, right?
Uh-huh.
We're like, okay, as long as this person doesn't slip, as long as, you know, if everything keep going right, Torian should go right here. As long as nobody slips. And that's what everybody wants to say. Like, if somebody slips, your whole board gets changed.
Right. Because, yeah, everything.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Or somebody, you know, and then it just throws the whole board off. So here we are. We see 9. We see 10. We see 11 go. Everybody went where they were supposed to go. And now here's Atlanta. And Atlanta is like, yo, they wanted them. We knew they wanted them. Golden State even wanted them. Golden State wanted to trade up to go get them as well.
Oh, wow.
And next thing you know, I'm running back into the arena because I'm upstairs by the food court. And I'm running back into the arena. And you see the video. If you type in Torian Prince from draft night, you see me standing next to Torian, just with a big smile on my face and clapping. Like, that moment of realization that all my hard work, and I was like, I wanted a lottery pick. I wanted a lottery pick.
Yeah.
I put it in the universe that year. And I was like, it's going to be Torian. My career was really tied now to Torian.
Yeah.
That to happen, he goes 12, and he's the underdog. Nobody saw this coming. I got videos of me and him, like, that whole weekend. It was just priceless, man. And my wife wasn't there to share with me at the time with my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't there, but she's been with me through the struggle. And, you know, here I am. I'm just broke down by the client to her on the phone because I'm there. I'm in New York. You know, taking care of business, but, you know, I didn't have them around me. But it was like, here I am breaking down crying because I'm like, I just lived out my dream of having, you know, a kid go lottery. And I played a huge part in that, in his success to making that happen. And now I'm like, wow. You know, but I'm still dealing with bullshit now. You know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm still dealing with it. You know, because that same weekend, I'll tell you something, that same weekend, leading up to the draft, I'll tell you this, my phone was off. I had no money for food.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm working, doing what I gotta need to take care of the client, but then my money ain't, I ain't even been paid yet.
Right, man.
You know what I mean? And they got me out here working, and I'm like, yo, hey. All right, y'all keep playing with me.
Yeah, yo, you was really Will Smith on Pursuit of Happiness, man.
Definitely.
I was waiting for you to say you was running. When you was running to the room where Torian was at for the draft, I thought you said your shoe was going to come off.
No, man. But, you know, it was definitely a pursuit of happiness at that moment because it was just like, you know, everything that could go wrong went wrong for me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, damn, I got my phone off. I'm one day before the draft, and I'm like, yo, man, Mitch, I need, like, where's my money? Oh, it's coming, you're going to get paid. Like, I ain't got no money to eat. Like, this is embarrassing. I can't even take care of the client. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, like, one of those situations. So, like, literally after he gets drafted, you know, we're getting prepared for summer league and stuff like that. And, you know, that point in time, I kind of made a decision, like, okay, you know what? Me and Torian made a pact, like, look, when you're ready to bounce, I'm ready to bounce. You know what I mean? Because I put so much, you know, I bet it on him. I went all in on Torian. You know?
Right.
It's like, look, man, if you're ready to bounce, whenever you're ready, just know I'm rocking with you. You know, like, at this point in time, you know? So, he's like, all right, say what? And Impact came through and finally, you know, presented me with something. And I was like, all right, cool. All right, show me at this point. It's like, show me now, because I've proven, and that's something that I don't mind putting in the work. Like, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to show you I can do it. And then at the end of the day, once it's done, you can pay me for my results. Either you're going to pay me for my time or you're going to pay me for my results. And my results is going to get me way more than what I was asking for in the beginning.
Right.
I'm now delivered and I showed you what I can do.
So now we got to really, really talk. Like, so,
but yeah, oh yeah, we got to really sit down and talk, you know what I mean? So now I'm sitting down with Mitch Frankel, I'm sitting down with Jeff Sutton, I'm sitting down with the billionaire people, and they're like, all right, we got to really take care of Ace now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ain't none of that, you know what I mean, what y'all doing before, like, y'all got to really come with it, you know?
Right.
I need a signing bonus, I need this, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the whole nine, right, you know? And I was able to get all of that, so, but it was definitely a pursuit of happiness.
So, for real. So Ace, man, I know you ain't gonna give me no answer on this, but I just gotta ask you just cause it's on topic. I know you said next year you got you'll have the new NBA draft guys coming in, those new clients. I ain't gonna say Torian Prince's name, but do we have any guys on the radar that's in the league right now that you know, you ain't gotta say no names, but you know you got a good shot at him.
Man, I got a lot. You know, I got a good shot at everybody, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's just, it's about understanding what people really want and what drives them and what motivates them to be able to put something together in front of them. And that's something that, you know, this rookie class that we're about to get ready for this NBA draft class and the veterans that are here, you know, we got some big name guys, and we got some stuff that, you know, Young is going to surprise you with that we got. Oh shit, we already see this coming.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, working behind the scenes and continuing to, you know, build the relationships and connect the dots, and I think that's the biggest thing, and being able to figure out what works for that particular person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeezy's done great with his business endeavors off of outside of music, you know, Defiance Fuel, mm-hmm. you know, Wider Custom, Figures Wireless, he partnered with Freddie Figures. So, you know, just kind of understanding who really wants to be in that entrepreneur mode. Like, this is what this platform is for.
Right.
If you're really an entrepreneur and you're really trying to, you know, better yourself outside of just sports and just being an athlete and really want to overall perfect your, you know, your CEO mentality, entrepreneur hustle, like, this will be the place for you. I feel like we developed that here at Sports 99. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I got my own clothing line. I got, you know, other little businesses outside of sports. So,
yeah,
he does as well. Solomon does. So this is where we want guys to be able to come and perfect their craft.
Right.
And really put that mind, that hat on, like, okay, I'm more than just an athlete. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to LeBron and his team for what they're doing. But I've been on that level as well, of that same wavelength, you know, but it takes the right player that can be able to command that, mm-hmm. and to be able to do that. So here I am now in a position with Jeezy to be able to do something like that. It's just about finding those players now who have that mindset, who want to build something. Because right now, everybody kind of follows the wave or follows the trend. And it's just like,
right.
what works for Dwayne Wade and his agent isn't what's going to work for you.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, you're your own business, and everybody wants to take somebody else's blueprint and sell. You know, I see agents do it all the time. Like, oh, you're going to be the next Steph Curry, or you're going to be the next Russell Westbrook. Well, why can't they just be who they're going to be? Comparing them is nice, but they still their own individual, and now build out a plan for that individual for him to be successful. You know,
right,
because
right.
No one would have told you Steph Curry would have been Steph Curry now.
Yeah, nobody's seen this.
You know, barely 6 feet. You know, not even 190 pounds.
Yeah,
he's going to shoot it from the logo, and he's one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like. You can't. I've seen guys fall. I've seen guys succeed. And the guys that I've seen fall, it hurts me the most because they went with these big agencies who put them in this mold of you're the next this versus really understanding who they are and be able to sell them. And that's my biggest gift. I can take a second round pick. I understand what that second round pick does well and what he doesn't do. And that's the biggest thing for me.
Right.
And when you do that, you're able to now enhance their value to teams versus trying to just sell them, oh, he's the next Russell Westbrook. And I had guys who didn't go with us but went with bigger agencies, like, you know, and next thing you know, you're like, well, damn, he went from being a lottery pick to 1 year, and now he's not even in the league. He's not even – what happened to him?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what – you know, you go to these agencies that you don't – get that type of attention and that service that you need. You know, you can't sell everybody the same plan. You can't sell this person, you know, and that's why I look at myself as a tool. And, you know, if a player can utilize what I bring, utilize me, you know, everybody's a tool on God's earth. You know, so at the end of the day, if I'm the right tool for the job, use me. You know, if I'm not, okay, cool. No hard feelings. I still got guys who didn't come with me. And the career didn't turn out or whatnot, I'm still rocking with you. You know, I still give you that support and that guidance, you know. So it's more than just about the dollar for me.
Right. And that's sort of, if you're a player, you can't do nothing but respect that in an agent and an agency. You won't, you know, because so many people out here that's going to take advantage of you. You know what I mean? You got to appreciate the guys that really got your back. And, earlier you said, you know, I like to put my friends on the spot when I get a chance to. You know, you're an entrepreneur. You got your clothing line. I seen your clothing line. I seen Sports 99 got they got clothes and stuff. And Young Jeezy has a tequila by the name of Avion. And you know, so, you know, being one of my friends and all, you know, I was just, you know, wondering, could I, you know, my birthday coming up in like 2 weeks, and, you know, some gear and some drink would be nice.
Say less, man. Say less, and I'll send you a package. I'll get some stuff sent out to you. I'll get some stuff sent out to you, and,
I appreciate y'all, I got y'all, I'm gonna drop
me the
address and I'll send y'all some stuff, man. Sports 99, and I'm gonna let you get up out of here. Well, before I let you go, I got one question, Chris. If I don't know if you got anything else for Ace?
No, man. I was just, you know, before we switched modes, I was just on his how he was saying, you know, you can't rock everybody the same way. It was just reminding me of stories like you said with stats and stuff. Right? I seen where I think it was Nike had you know did the presentation and Kevin Durant's name was still in the paperwork or something like that. Basically, they tried to pitch him the same thing that they pitched KD. Little things like that, man. It's just like you have to make sure that you tailor it to each person. I think in the end, he went with Under Armour because he could put the Bible verses on his shoe.
Mm-hmm. So, right. For sure.
So that was just,
And you know, guys, you know, I think our the next generation of athletes are starting to get smarter. They're getting wiser. They're not just following the trend now of, oh, I'm just going to go with this agent because this agent got all these players. But they're going with what really works for them. And I really feel like, you know, in the game that, you know, inside the agent business, it's a dirty game, you know, because you got to please so many people on top of the player that you have to be aware of everyone's needs and wants, not just the player's needs, but, you know, the people around them. And if you don't do that well, that's what could cause you to lose a player. If you do it right, it could cause you to gain a player.
Right.
You know, when you look at these people, you know, that's why I said the industry of sports agency is going to change a lot, and you're starting to see that, you know, with more entrepreneurs getting involved in the business, and people are, you know, now, you know, agencies are looking at guys like myself because we have the relationship, and the relationship goes further than the person who's coming with the bag, because, you know, Will Barton wasn't a bag. Torian Prince wasn't a bag. You know, you know what I mean? It was the relationship, and then, you know, I mean, like them rocking with me, and that's what a lot of agents fear in this business, and that's what I was alluding to earlier when I was talking about Patrick Beverly. You know, me and Pat was in the this was Orlando Summer League, you know, at the Orlando Magic facility, and you know that hotel. The hotel that everybody stays at, the Bon Voyage, I believe. Right there in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I see Pat. He's with his agent. And I walk up to Pat. I zap Pat. And his agent was, like, furious. He thought I was this was the ultimate disrespect. Like, okay, wait. You gonna try to steal my player in front of me?
In front of me.
Like, he had that mentality, like, this mother, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Like, he's getting upset, and he's like, you want to go? You want to go?
Wow. Really?
He's mad. So he's upset. He's furious. And Pat is like, yo, Ace is my boy. He looks out for me every time he sees me on the street, blah, blah, blah. And that's really where the relationships stem from with these players. It all came from the street.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people fear my relationships with their guys because they thought I was going to steal them. And at the end of the day, you know, if I'm going to use this platform tonight to let the record be straight. I don't steal nobody's play.
Right. Right.
That's one thing I don't do. You know, I don't go stealing nobody's player.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want to make that very clear in this business because there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, you know, oh, they do a lot of sneak this and stuff like that. And that was never the case. I never approached Patrick Beverly at one point of time in his career. Hey, do you want to leave, Mark? Or, hey, I can do this. Or, you know what I mean? Never, right. ever. Those conversations never, ever happened. And then when we finally got a chance to sit down and talk, and the guy that I said I wasn't going to mention earlier,
uh-huh.
the trainer,
uh-huh.
it was his doing, but he put everything on me. And then, you know what I mean? So he was trying to really ruin my name on that side of the business. But once I got to sit down and talk with Mark, he understood, like, it wasn't me. He apologized. But he was ready to go, man. I've never seen an agent that was like, yo, what I tell you, man? The energy, everything, like, if Pat wasn't there, he probably would have been like, because he asked me to go outside. And I was like, you don't want that.
And all he did was shake his head.
I'm like, you don't want that. And I was like, if you want to go outside, then let's go. Pat literally had to calm his agent down at that time. Patrick Beverly was calming his agent down from wanting to go outside with him.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I was ready to go there. I was like, if that's what you want, man, let's go.
That's the most ironic
situation. Like, Patrick Beverly was calming somebody else down? What?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that shows
agent down. Like, he was Patrick Clay. I wish y'all could seen it. It was a shock look on Patrick's face when he saw his agent reacted the way he reacted to it. Like, I don't think, like, he's here I am, he's embracing me, we dapping, we hugging, like, yeah, what's up, boy? And then to see his agent just flip. 0-100. And he's just like, Patrick's face was like, are you serious? This dude is out here, like, embarrassing me. Like, Pat was like, if you don't sit your ass down, like, you know what I mean? He had one of them looks on his face, and he was like, he had to put his agents to the side, like, calm him down for real, because he was talking about going outside, and I'm like, I'm with it.
Like, I'm here.
Like, you know what I mean? What am I going to do? I'm going to back down and be like, nah, nah, nah. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That get out like, oh, Ace and Mark was about to get into a fight, and Mark was calling Ace out, and he didn't want to, you know what I mean? It's just hard. It's just your credibility. You know what I mean? Just straight up. I'm like, all right, call me out, then we got to go through with it, you know? So, and, you know, so it was, that was one of the moments, and one of a funny moment for me. But me and Mark are extremely cool, great guy. You know, love what he's doing for himself and for what he does for his clients. That's one guy I could say, you know, he really does care about his guys. And, you know, no matter what, he definitely treats them like family. So that right there, you know, that one, it was a funny one. It was a funny moment as I'm, you know, in this game. Like, that was one of the moments where I've had one time where Adrian was really ready to fight me over his client, and I'm like, bro, I don't even talk to Pat like that.
This is just over a handshake.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It ain't about that. And actually, some of these relationships that I have with these players, you know, from the guys that I have now, from Trae Young, the, you know, relationship with DeAndre Bembry, guys who are in the league from football to basketball, it's not about the get the business. It's more about the friendship and understanding, like, okay, if I can help guide you in any way, I'm going to help do so. You know, I'm very on my William Wesley, you know.
Yeah.
If I can help you so, I'm going to tap in and then I'm going to consult for you and help you in any way.
Man.
So, right, and it's a love, it's a trust, it's a bond there, you know. It's like, man, I ain't got to worry about nothing. He's solid, he got me, period. And that's what
sometimes these guys need. They just want somebody to be solid. Because, you know, you got to understand this too. You know, a lot of these guys got yes men and they can't. You know, as much as they try to pretend to say they don't, and everybody's just so real and everybody's so thorough, a lot of these guys are just, you know what I mean, they new to the business. They don't know nothing. Here they are. You know what I mean? They can't really guide you. You know?
Right.
It is what it is. And it's sad that's how these players get taken advantage of, because they don't have nobody who can call out bullshit and see that, like, okay, and that's what I am. Like, I'm a bullshit detective for my guys. Like, at the end of the day, I know he's a fraud. Boom, we got to keep it moving. Oh, you want to do business with him? All right, let me vet him. You know what I mean? Like, let me do my due diligence. If I don't know something about somebody, give me my time to do my due diligence on him. And then if he checks out, we can work with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, guys nowadays, they don't have that.
Right.
Guys don't have that. They don't have a support system or a team of people that they really lean on. You got the guys want to be, the players are the CEO, they want to be the president, they want to be the intern, they want to be the, you know what I mean? They want to be everything for themselves. And they like, oh, I want to take every, like, bro, you're doing more harm to yourself than good.
Right, right.
Versus you put in a team of people that you can trust and learn from them and understand why they're doing this, and now you're giving yourself the tools to be able to continue to educate yourself in the process. So you can't take it on by yourself.
For sure, for sure. And the one last question I have for you, being that you're a, you know, Los Angeles native, and you know, obviously, the, you know, everybody know and mourning over the passing of Kobe Bryant. Just wanted to see if you, I don't know if you have any stories of meeting him, or if you just want to say something about what Kobe meant for you.
You know, growing up in L.A. watching basketball, there was two people that I really followed my whole life. One was Michael Jordan, and after Mike left, Kobe Bryant was that second coming to me. Like, okay, the way he went about the game, how he prepared, and like, he just took basketball serious. Like, I love him, you know, and I respect that out of players who take it serious. And so one thing I did for myself, I said, look, I never want to meet Kobe, right? Because I never wanted to have my perception of him change.
Right, you know?
Right. Or I went to games where he was playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like he was that guy that I didn't want to be, even though I loved him. You know what I mean? Like, like this is somebody, I buy his shoes, I support him, but I never wanted to meet him. And the one time I met Michael Jordan, so I meet Michael Jordan, and I just have this, I have a breakdown. I just, I'm like, I'm talking gibberish. Like, you know what I mean? And so I was just like, you know what? Let me not do that again with nobody that I really want to meet. You know what I mean? And so that was one of the situations where I was just like, you know what? I love Kobe Bryant. I don't want to meet him. I never want to do that. I got his card. And growing up in L.A., you know, he... And not even just in LA, just watching the impact that he had on this generation of players. Man, he is definitely a legend and a GOAT, and he's going to be missed, him and his wonderful daughter. And just to be able to see that on the kids who didn't get a chance to watch Michael Jordan and don't really know who Michael Jordan is besides they like his shoes.
Right.
But to know who Kobe Bryant was and know what he did and what he meant to the game of basketball, I think is amazing. When you have a guy like that who went at the game every night like it was his last, and I feel like, to be honest with you, basketball needs more guys like him, more guys like Kawhi, who take the game serious to where they're really giving the game everything. Like, you can't cheat the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like why you see a lot of guys come and go in this sport because they're cheating the game. Mm-hmm. They want to wait till they're in that last year of the contract to finally ball out, or, you know what I mean, they're in cruise control.
Right.
And I had the opportunity, you know, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity at the time. I was good friends with Joe Malouf, and Joe and I were talking just about the draft, and, you know, we had to talk about DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, Ace, what do you think about DeMarcus Cousins? Because we're really thinking about taking him. And I said, as long as you can keep him motivated, he's going to be special.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was for DeMarcus. As long as he was motivated, he was going to be special. And I said, as long as he doesn't get that money and then he decides to take his foot off that gas.
Right.
And you see a lot of guys in the league get that bag and they take their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
When it's just like, you know, either you're doing it for the check or you're really doing it for the love of the game. And I feel like Kobe, LeBron, and you saw guys in our era, you know, from the 2000s on, there's only been a handful of guys who really doing it for the love of the game. So my message is, you know, and I hope with Kobe's message when he passed was to really take that Mamba mentality, apply it to business or anything that you do, and don't take your foot off the gas. Like, really go at it, man. That's what guys, that's what I want to see. And I think it'll make the NBA better. If you had guys really put their foot to the gap, put their foot down, you're going to see guys, you know, you'll see more competitive. And, you know, to be honest with you, too, do away with East versus West. You already did away with the All-Star game versus East versus West, right? And you got to take the next, here's the next thing the NBA should really focus on. We're going to take the top 16 teams. No matter what conference, what division,
the
top 15 team, because then now you're going to create opportunities for a guy like Ja Morant, who plays in a small market. He might get a matchup where he's got to go to Brooklyn and pay Kyrie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? In a first round matchup.
Right.
Now you're giving him the opportunity to still be on the national stage and get to also play in a big market in a 7-game series. Can you imagine a 7-game series? Kyrie, Ja Morant, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or, you know, the Bucks versus, you know, the Grizzlies in a you know what I mean, tight matchup.
Right.
So that's where I feel like the NBA should definitely go with it, since they already kind of got me that. But I think that's what's going to really make it competitive. And to see some of these young guys coming in here, going up against some of these older cats, and they're like really bringing it to them, like, hey, I'm not slowing down. Ja's not slowing down.
Yeah.
Zion's not slowing down. I got you really coming in there like, okay, I like that. I like what I'm seeing. Trey Young coming in here like, you know, like they really pushing
some
it. They're really showing that they got that Mamba mentality.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Right.
And like you said, that first week when Kobe passed, you know, everybody is going off. Like, that was like a really, really good week of basketball.
Yeah, Yeah, and it's sad though, like, that it took that for people to really go out there and really perform and understand, like, you know, nothing is promised tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, and to take things for granted, and, you know, and be in that kind of cruise control mentality, especially on the basketball court, it's just like, man, you're cheating yourself, you're cheating your teammates, you're cheating the fans, you know, and, you know, I'm a player-friendly guy, you know, I go out with these guys, I hang out with these guys, I know, and I see everything that they do, but if you want to be the best, you got to prioritize basketball.
That's word.
If you cheat it, and if you cheat the game of basketball, it's going to cheat you.
That's word right there.
You know, that's just something that, you know, why you look back and you're like, oh, why this guy ain't in the league? And, oh, he's good, but why he not playing?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you try to cheat the game, and the game, you know what I mean? Like I said, you cheat the game don't cheat you. And I feel like, you know, you kind of saw that, you know, with a certain superstar who just kind of got his return to the NBA, you know?
Right.
Kind of includes himself. Like, you know, he got his bag, and he wanted out of a certain situation, and he was kind of, you know, cruising, you know?
Right.
and it affects you, and it, you know what I mean? It has nothing to do with you, right?
Yeah,
you know, you're like, the organization is in a flux, and they doing whatever they going to do, so I'm just going to go out here and do me, right? I'm out here doing me. And you're not prioritizing what needs to be done, and then taking it serious led to where he's at now. You know what I mean? Like, no way. You know what I mean? And then you got to look at, well, I'm better than this guy, I'm better than that guy. You know?
Right.
Like I said, don't get the bag
they work
and take your foot off the brake. You know what I mean? Don't get the bag and then take your foot off the gas.
Right.
Keep working. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep, you know, you got to find a way to motivate yourself, reinvent yourself. And if you look at Kobe's years in the league, he went from being a high flyer to then he, you know, developed a post game. And then like, you know what I mean? Like, he really reinvented himself once he realized, okay, I don't still have the same ups, so let me do this. Same thing with LeBron. LeBron's like, okay, let me reinvent myself. Let me create a post game. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me create my jump shot. Like, you have to constantly reinvent yourself. And the person right now who I really like, that, you know, everybody's kind of sleeping on this year, but he made an all-star team again, it's Chris Paul.
Yeah.
It's Chris Paul.
Yeah.
He reinvented himself in Oklahoma now, and he got them boys playing. Like, they out there really scrapping with you. Like, you know what I mean? So, he's somebody that, you know, really took that Mamba mentality, and he's applying it. You know, so it's just like, you can see it. You know what I mean? Mark, we've had the conversation on guys, you know, we talk sports, and we can talk for hours about it. You see who's doing what, who takes the game serious.
Right. Now you can see it's noticeable. It's clear as day. It's clear as day. But yeah, Ace man, we on right now with Andrew Ace Thomas. If you wanna shout out your Instagram handle and let everybody know where they can find you and keep up with Sports 99.
So my Instagram handle is All Day Ace, and you can keep up with everything Sports 99 related is at the official Sports 99. So that's the Instagram handle. Man, I appreciate you guys having me. I plan to do a lot more podcasts and really now starting to start laying the foundation to, you know, get the name out there. And, you know, I appreciate y'all.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming, man, dropping some gems and, you know, hopefully, you know, I seen you was nursing an injury earlier or at the end of last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hopefully we fully healed up because, you know, once you start grabbing these clients, man, these agents going to be trying to knock your head off, man. So hopefully we ain't got to get there.
From my Achilles. Yeah. I'm rehabbing still from my Achilles injury. You know, I did tear my Achilles and I'm bouncing back from that, you know, and that was kind of crazy, man. I was up there. I went out the night before. And here I am. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go hoop, kill time, and go play basketball while I wait for Bembry and then let me know about these tickets.
Uh-huh.
That day I was hooping. I ain't going to lie to you. I was balling. I had on my OG one. I was out there hooping. I turned back the hand of time, and I was out there really getting buckets. And I was guarding my boy, who is 6'2", maybe 6'3". He's about 250. And, you know, I already knew I had a foot problem. But I thought it was going to be my right foot, you know, my right Achilles, because I used to roll the right ankle really bad. I had three severe ankle rolls, and I just really let the time to heal it. Just went back out there and played. And I'm guarding him, and he pushes off with his arm, and I just heard the pop. And I fall to the ground. He's like, man, I didn't even push you that hard, Ace, man. Stop playing, man. And I was like, nah, I tore my Achilles. That was the most painful thing. Ugh. And your whole foot swells up and everything, man. Achilles rolled up like a foot roll up, the doctor said. It was nasty. But I was like, man, I was like, so now I'm contemplating. And that's one thing. How I go in the gym, how I approach my business, and how I approach life.
Mm-hmm.
I only know where to go. And I'm going to end it like this. I only know one way to go. And I give 110%. I'm playing pickup basketball. Best believe I'm playing both ends of the floor. I'm playing defense and I'm playing offense. As out of shape as I am, you know what I mean? Like, that's
real.
You know, I can't play no other way. Like, you know, you got some guys who can only play offense, but don't want to play no defense.
Yeah.
I'm not that. I'm going to play both ways. I take pride in somebody trying to score on me. I take pride in trying to lock them down because I can't. You know what I mean? And if I'm in shape, I'm a handful. You know? Mm-hmm. So, understanding that and that's my mentality, just to go hard and bet on myself. As an entrepreneur, you gotta bet on yourself.
For sure.
You have to create it in order for somebody else to see what you're trying to do, the vision that you have.
Right.
That's something that I take pride in.
Create your own opportunities, man. That's my motto right now. I've been driving it to the ground all 2020, man. You gotta create your own opportunities. But I definitely appreciate you coming on too. You know, spoke some real words today and re-energize myself, I gotta say. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank y'all for having me, like I said, man. And, you know, look, hey, we gotta support each other, man. We gotta lay the foundation for the youth to see. At the end of the day, you gotta create, because they don't teach you this in textbooks, you know. They don't teach you how to create, you know? They teach you how to go be an employee.
Right, know? Right.
This business here, the sports business, you know, a lot of this stuff you're not going to learn in textbooks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, like we said, I think we done thanked each other about three times already. So we're going to get up out of here. Hopefully this ain't the last time, man. Hopefully I get you and Jeezy in person one day.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, man.
Yes, sir.
Catch up and where we all at and make it happen.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. This is A Minute Till 6. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, MH the Champ, with my co-host,
Chris Perry. You can find me at chris.perrysr.
And we out.